we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to go in a moment to Butters and Lee, but before I do that, you guys, I got to tell you, over the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors, all right? These folks are amazing. So let me ask you this. Inspire Advisors, they're great at what we call biblically responsible investing. So did you know that some of the most popular companies to invest in today are simply not aligned with biblical values? Oh, you may be curious to find out that some of the things that you've been investing in may actually be going to stuff you say you don't even support at all, like abortion or pornography or even human trafficking, just to name a few. So Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire, they are specialists in the field of what I referred to a moment ago as biblically responsible investing, or BRI. Paul and Inspire Advisors, they would love to offer you a free consultation. No strings attached, no worries. Literally, it's a free consultation. They'll look at what's in your portfolio right now, and they may be able to help you find some biblically aligned alternatives if you'd like to do that. So to learn about BRI, to learn about Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire, it's really easy. There's no cost, there's no obligation. Just go to their website. And by the way, the quickest way to find it is just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio and Sponsors, and you will find their logo, and then bam, just go right to it, and lo and behold, it'll be everything you need to know to get that free consult set up. Listen, Inspire Advisors, it's godly, it's balanced, it's conservative, it's financial freedom, y'all. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Okay, listen, one of my favorite times of every single week, right? We get two people in here who provide some additional background commentary and insights. So I like to say we're going to have a round of Butters and Lee. All right, call and roll right here in the studio. The Butterman is with us. We already heard your hello. How are you?
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor. Roger that. And then calling in right now on the line, Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm great. I don't know. Brains and beauty. I'm not sure how to answer.
Okay. All right. Listen, you know the deal, y'all. I ask the questions, you give the answers, then we flip the script and go the other way. So here's my first question for you. Like, no, this has not been in the news at all, even today. Is Biden going to be on the ballot in November? And that's a why or a why not? Why and a why not? Lee, I'm going to you first. What do you think? Is Biden even going to be on the ballot at this point?
Well, it's looking less likely at this point. He's given himself an out by saying that he he's not leaving unless there's like some sort of medical emergency. And then all of a sudden we get the, oh, I have COVID. I don't know. Maybe he's setting himself up an out. It's like he's literally crumbling before our eyes. And honestly, I don't wish this on anyone.
No. He is
just coming apart mentally, and I think that the stress of being president puts really tough people, gives them gray hair, and sends them possibly into an early grave, much less someone who already has a disadvantage. So I don't know how he's doing it anyway. So that makes me think he's probably not doing it. But I think it's looking less and less likely at this point.
I'll tell you what, before I say anything else, I'll wait and see what Butterman's got. Butters, is he going to be on the ballot? Your thoughts on it?
I mean, she says it's an excuse. Is he going to survive COVID? I mean,
well, it's not like he hadn't had it six times already.
As soon as I saw that tweet, I've got COVID. I'm going to be like, how convenient. And I thought vaccinations were supposed to. Anywho's, that's a whole other conversation.
He's been boosted like 19 times, so
maybe that's what's going on. Has anybody studied that?
Yeah, really.
I don't know. I think to kind of what y'all were talking about, his family should be ashamed of themselves. His friends, if he's got any, I don't know if he's had family and friends in decades, given how long he's been in politics, but
real friends.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is a tragedy to see them continue down this road. I think they'll do the bait and switch. I think that'll happen.
Which is interesting because if you think about it, there's millions of people, Democrats, who already voted for the man. Only to find out their vote might not matter because the powers that be decided they wanted something else. That's an interesting dynamic right there.
And what does that do? What does that do to the to the party and the convention?
That's a great question.
Because that's what, middle of August is the convention?
Yeah.
They'll vote August 19th. For whoever's there.
Okay.
And no, the delegates will vote for the main person. I mean, if it's Kamala, they'll vote for her.
Well, they will, because they'll have no choice, but it'll only be because the upper crust powers that be said, here's how we're going to do this. Here's who you'll like. I mean, they kind of did that with Biden. They pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. They said that RFK Jr. wasn't even allowed to debate him. They ran RFK out of the party, and then they said, Biden's a man, get over it. And now they're saying, Biden's a horrible man, we need to get over it. And they're trying to figure out what to do. It's a disarray.
Was this the plan all along, to run whoever it is that they wanted to run that they knew couldn't get elected in the primaries? And
okay.
You know, not to put my tinfoil hat on.
I don't think so. I'm telling you that Parkinson's can have weird declines, and you can't predict them. And they can be, you can be in steady state for a long period of time and then take it down. They just go straight down.
Well,
It's just one of those things they can't predict. I think they thought he'd be able to make it, at least through an election, and I think that he's suddenly surprising them.
That may be true, but I did point out, too, that I think it's very suspicious that they scheduled, by their own request, the first ever presidential debate this early in a cycle with the latest ever Democrat National Convention to give themselves a broad buffer of time between the two to see if he was going to crash and burn during the debate, and he did. I don't know.
So I guess we'll know in 4 weeks or thereabouts, right?
But you know what's interesting? They can't call the 25th Amendment into play because they'd have to admit they've been lying all along. So they can't do it.
What's the 25th Amendment?
That's the one where they remove the president from office.
So they need too much. They need, what, 3/4 or 2/3?
No, the first they have to have is the 25th Amendment cannot be invoked unless the vice president and at least half the cabinet agree in writing that he should step down or be removed. And if the president refuses to do it at that point, then 2/3 of the vote of Congress can do it.
Back to me with my tinfoil hat. Yeah. Does he make it through COVID? Because that seems an easy way out.
That would be way too cagey. I mean, I joked about getting him a soup tester the other day, but I think that would be if he. Listen.
You're saying they're being super cagey about everything else and not doing everything out in the open? How much more in the open do you want?
Oh God, it's a day full of conspiracy theories. All right,
wait, there was a question.
He's got
a major comorbidity that people don't talk about. He had a major aneurysm in his brain that he had to have surgery on. He talked about it in the past, but they literally had to chop his head off. I mean, that's a major comorbidity for COVID. I mean, it is very dangerous for him probably, but I'm just saying it's an out too.
So you're saying the president had a lobotomy and I'd forgotten about it. I did not realize. I didn't recall that.
Aneurysm. I didn't say lobotomy.
Oh, okay. Aneurysm. All right. Hey, next question before we run out of time. We got about 4 minutes on this. So apparently there was something that happened last Saturday with President Trump. It's been one of the most epic failures in VIP security that we've seen in decades. A lot of questions left to be answered. I realize we're early in the investigation. I mean, technically we're only, what, 4 days, 5 days removed from it. So it's still, in terms of an investigative process, it's still early on. But here's my question for you. Is it too soon to demand that Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle resign? Because right now she's saying she's not going to. And, of course, nobody in the Biden administration is ever going to say, Cheadle, you need to resign. Is it too soon to call for that, or should we wait till the facts come out more, or do we have enough to go on? You first time, Butters.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward that some people, some heads should roll and that something's broken. You know, that was pretty pathetic. Will any of that happen? I think a lot of the same people that have been handling investigations of, Mar-a-Lago and classified materials, you know, they're all the ones that are going to police themselves. You know, like if you were a group of individuals that could police themselves and do a good after action report and actually have consequences out of that, wouldn't have been that incompetent to begin with.
That's a great,
you know,
point.
That's going to have to be fixed by somebody outside. It just seems unlikely.
Okay. Unlikely. Okay. Wow, that was a great point. All right, you, the Leaster, what do you think? Is it too soon to call for her to resign?
No, it's not too soon to call her to resign. I don't think she will. No one is ever held accountable in this administration for epic, glaring failures, so why should she? But no, absolutely not. This was a debacle, an astronomical debacle. And she's also the one who's, you know, putting these teams together, or she has to take responsibility for it. And it was an obviously just wholly inadequate team who depended too much on local police. It was just a debacle. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah. Period. And it almost cost the president his life.
Yeah. And what I want to know, you know, there's all these conflicting stories about whether or not they reassigned assets, whether or not there was a less robust package than a former president should expect to have. You know, they finally, after this happened, they decided to go ahead and give RFK Jr. some security that he'd been asking for months, and they wouldn't even give him that at all. And I look at this and think, if we find out that there was some direction or some negligence that says we're not going to secure things the way we normally would, had it been Biden, we would have done it different. If that's the case, then I think heads have to roll. If it's a, dang, we couldn't possibly have stopped that, we tried to do our job the best we could, and there's no way to have done any better than we did, and it just happened, which, I don't think that's going to be the case, then maybe she keeps her job. But either way, she's employed for about another 6 months.
Yeah.
Bam. She doesn't deserve to keep it, no matter what happens.
No, she doesn't. Put an asterisk by her name and send her to the House.
Well, and I think if you fire her right now, you do kind of admit that poor hiring procedures, all of this kind of stuff that you've let. I mean, you're admitting to all of us sitting here going,
"Did you?
These are all bad ideas."
Did you just go DEI on us?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We're taking a break right now. We are taking the first break. We come right back from this one. This is where they flip the script, and I just wait to see what questions they have for me and if I can field them. Oh, yeah, Butters and Lee, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right.
I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, I'm back with Butters and Lee. And this is the part where we flip the script and they ask me a question. So who did I go with first before? I went with Lee first before. So, all right, Butterman, you got the first round. What do you got?
All right, so Jack Black.
Yes.
Have you heard about the Tenacious D and him canceling the tour?
Yeah.
You heard about this?
He canceled the whole tour? I thought he just canceled the show.
Nope. So just looking at his Twitter right here, after much reflection, I no longer feel it appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour, and all future creative plans are on hold. I am grateful to the fans for their support and understanding. So here's...
Yeah.
I know he's a pretty outspoken supporter of Biden, but like, what's your take on how he's handling that? If he's canceling a tour if you haven't heard, basically his partner in the Tenacious D made a comment as a birthday wish that they don't miss next time.
Yeah.
And
Shooters.
Yeah. The shooters.
So first of all, Trump derangement syndrome is real. The very idea that anyone would be able to survive being shot at and have anyone else say, well, let's hope they do a better job next time. That's just gross. That's unconscionably gross. And, you know, Jack Black, listen, I don't follow his career. I think he's pretty funny sometimes, but he's not my favorite person, but still, all that to say, I don't know why he's canceling. I'd like to know his motivation. And is his motivation that, man, I got called out, and you know what? We were wrong. We're going to take a timeout. Or is his motivation, people are being mean to me and saying things on social media, and I need to go hide for a while. I don't know. So how I feel about it is going to depend on what his motivation was for backing off. I do know this. He did the show the next day, I think, without that guy on stage, which was the right move. And did he fire him or just like part ways?
I don't know. I think he's just what he's got out there is that everything's on hold.
Motivation's everything.
Yeah.
Motivation's everything. So I think it just depends on why he did what he did. But his partner is a clear, classic example of Trump derangement syndrome, and it's awful.
Yeah. Well, I truly hope that his motive is to say, look, I don't condone, that's not a good way of doing business. I may be deluded in other things, but.
All right, Lee, what do you got for me?
It's funny because I have also an assassination question, but I will say this. Jack Black's an excellent actor, and him and Bernie is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
And he is amazingly good in that. True story, too. You should watch it if you haven't. So my question is, they're suddenly now talking about some plot from Iran and how there was an assassination plot from Iran, and I don't understand the sleight of hand that they're trying here and going, don't look over here, look over here. You know, like, oh, but there's this. Why in the world are they bringing up this now?
They're bringing it and up. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just wondering, are they – I realize they're probably trying to deflect from the horrific, you know, job that they did. But not only that, are they trying to explain away, like, maybe another attempt? I don't know.
No, I think what they were trying to do was show that they were dialed in. They were even putting more people on Trump's detail because they were dialed in, and the whole of government approach, the intel community had intel on an Iranian attempt. They gave it to, you know, the Secret Service side. We better plus up stuff for Trump. They're trying to show themselves as being dialed in and not at all negligent in providing the security that the former president, soon to be next president, needed. It was a way of saying, see, we do our stuff. But it just really felt weird and awkward, and it was more like a nuh-uh. See, that's what it felt like to me. And you notice how this story kind of went away, like it was out for about a few hours and then went away.
If that's dialed in, I'd hate to see not dialed in. And it seemed very disjointed. Everything seemed like the Australian press called the three women fumbleinas, which I thought was funny. But they looked like. They didn't even know what was happening when they were trying to get him in the SUV. It just all looked pathetic, actually. And I don't know.
Well, there was one in particular.
I think they're trying to distance themselves and distract. Well, yeah, the one who couldn't get her gun in the holster.
Yeah, the one in particular who looked like she just struggles with life in general. And she was a. I don't want anybody on the presidential security detail. That makes me want to say, bless their heart. That's the way I felt about her. Bless her heart.
She looked like one of my admin sailors had to carry a firearm just because they were in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Holy crap.
Go push pencils.
Yes. Like, you're not even. Bottom line, she was a female, which is not the only reason, but she was a rear echelon female who was given a pistol, and we had to go through clearing barrels whenever we entered the gate, and she fired off probably six rounds in that clearing barrel before the MP finally took her weapon away from her and said, ma'am, you drop the magazine before you clear the weapon. You just look at it and go, my God.
Now she's a Secret Service agent.
Now she's a Secret Service agent on the presidential detail. All right, there you go. That's a round of Butters and Lee. Lee, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon. Butterman, thank you for being in studio.
Right. Yeah, man.
And you came bearing gifts. You brought candy.
Little freeze-dried Skittles.
Got me all sugared up. Now I got an hour to go.
Oh, yeah.
Had the sugar crash around 4:30. We'll see how that goes. All right. We see you guys later on. Love you both. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to Dipper number 2, Biden on the rocks. I got updates. I'll tell you all about it.